Having looked through the file, I believe there are some documents that we will ask to be submitted, and I would ask that, I don't know what the rules are for admitting additional evidence within the next 30 days or 3 days or whatever, so I would ask that question of the court.
Well, that's a week, and accommodate you almost any way you choose. If you want to hold in advance for 30 days, you can do that. Hold in and show it up, we can do that.
We, at 4:30 this morning, I received a phone call from Dr. Khan at Rutgers University, who had just received a telephone call from Dr. Rappi at the University of Umeå in Sweden. There are certain analytical results that had come in the early a.m. this morning that we would like to have several weeks at least to complete analysis on those on that data, which is being faxed from Sweden, and then submit that to the Board of Veterans Appeals. Okay. And I will comment briefly on what I was able to learn over the telephone this morning for the record.
And I understand that
that's fine.
And one other matter, I believe, when Ms. Barton, you've had a hearing in Freedom Law Office, and you run the pension the same way they do after the case is going to end. But it's real important that they ask the question twice. We're not cross-examining, but explore in detail and encourage the people. The hearing before the Board, before a second the Board of Veterans Appeals in Washington, D.C., from the appeal of Mrs. Mary M. Barton in the case of Wayne L. Barton, the VA identification number was SS4825215560. Mrs. Barton is present in the hearing room, is accompanied by Mr. Wayne Wilson, Executive Director of the New Jersey Agent Orange Commission, also present Ms. Ms. Victoria McGuire, who is behind the videotape machine. Also present Mr. Cliff Barton, Ms. Kathy Barton, Ms. Julie Novak, the veterans' children, and present Ms. Kathy Ramsey, Barton's office. Admiral Zumwalt, also present, as is his son, Mr. James Zumwalt. Admiral Zumwalt, Mrs. Barton, thanks for these great jobs. Do you and each of you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give the truth, the whole truth, Wilson, we have agreed that we have one issue for our credit consideration as the time of satisfaction because of that event. We're going to agree with that, I'll come here.
We're in agreement.
As we agreed before we went on the record, as we do more of this time, the strength of our credit is not worth it. It's
fine.
So, the court is going
to
thank you, sir, for the opportunity to be here. As I think is well known, my son and brother recently has passed away as a result of two different forms of lymphoma. And during the course of the 5.5 year battle he fought, I've had the opportunity and the motivation to put in a tremendous amount of time studying the possible linkage between the use of Agent Orange, part of which was used under my responsibility at my command in support of naval forces in Vietnam. And I feel, as a former commander, deep responsibility to be sure that the searching effort to get at the truth in the case of the linkage between Agent Orange and cancer and possibly birth defects is pursued. There are three elements, it is agreed, in Agent Orange. There is 24D, 245T, and an impurity called dioxin. With regard to the impurity, the dioxin, I don't think there is any longer any doubt that it is recognized as poisonous to the human being and animals. So-called laboratory test was the tragedy that occurred a number of years ago in Sevassa, Italy, where dioxin contamination occurred, and a great many animal deaths ensued thereafter. And it is my understanding that there have subsequently been difficulties in the case of humans, cancer caused there. With regard to the element 24D, I believe that the data is now clear that its use as a pesticide in the United States has been carcinogenic. A year or so ago, the University of Kansas and the National Cancer Institute published the results of a study showing that when Kansas farmers who had used 24D were compared to a control group who had not been so exposed, that there were 6 to 8 times as many non-Hodgkin's lymphomas caused occurring in the group who had been exposed. That study, I think, has survived all scrutiny. With regard to the third element, 245T, we know that when it was used to spray a national forest in Oregon a number of years ago, women in the neighboring town of Alsea, Oregon, experienced birth difficulties, abortions, and birth defects of 3 times the normal rate. With regard to the overall impact of Agent Orange, we have a study done by the Veterans Administration recently published, which showed when U.S. Marine Corps veterans who served in Vietnam were compared to a control group of Marine Corps veterans who had not, that there was, as I recall, on the order of 57% more lung cancer and 110% more non-Hodgkin's lymphomas than in the controls. We have additional veteran studies that have been reported to me that I have not yet read that tend to have confirmatory evidence as well. With regard to the frequently stated government position that one cannot establish dioxin levels in veterans, I think it's important to note that Dr. Arnold Schechter, who has visited Vietnam and has offered to testify, but to my knowledge has never been called, in taking samples of body fat from the population north of the DMZ, which was never sprayed with Agent Orange, has found normal levels. And in the fat samples of Vietnamese individuals south of the DMZ, where the Agent Orange was used, has found elevated levels of fat.
I was just trying to stop. There we go.
That was my long thing. Julie, this is my cousin, Wayne McCannon.
Hi, Wayne.
This is Wayne over at my niece.
Nice to meet you. Yes.
Droopy sleeping.
Sucked up.
Yeah. So did you have any trouble getting here?
Yeah. Okay. No, I just fruity.
Probably through administrative oversight, a fat sample was taken by the Veterans Administration. And we know that he had about 3 times the normal level of dioxin in his body, according to the report that I've read. Finally, we have a statement in his record of his doctor who states that his reaction to the treatment of his lung cancer was almost nil, and that he, the doctor, has found that in other cases of individuals who had been exposed to Agent Orange. In my judgment, as a layman, the data is very, very significant to establish the linkage of Agent Orange and cancer in the human being, and the great lengths that have been gone to by the government to date to nullify the significance of data would border on being jocular if they were not so tragic. I do not, as someone who has had a lot of experience with the analytical method, understand how it is so possible to so disregard all of the data that the Deputy Director of the Veterans Administration was able to testify before the Senate Veterans Committee on May 12th, that there is not a shred of evidence to establish the linkage. I believe that there is overwhelming evidence of the probability, and that the time has come for the government to recognize that responsibility. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Would you respond to questions?
Yes, sir.
Off the record, if you can certainly appreciate the feelings Vietnam veterans have for Admiral Zumwalt, who takes time from his busy schedule to remember his full duties as a commander to serve us even today, and he's held in very high esteem by the Vietnam veteran community. I think that will be a matter of record for a long time in other forums. So I just wanted to say that because I think it's important, and I'm glad you understand that. So.
We'll go back to the record.
Yes, I am, Mr. Blassingame. I've had an opportunity this morning to look over the file here, and obviously I'm familiar with most of the documents that are in here. But I read, for example, to establish service connection for a veteran's fatal illness or injury, the evidence must show that a disability incurred in or aggravated by service was either the primary cause of death or contributed substantially and materially to the production of death. And it goes, reads further down another paragraph, and this is from the Veterans Administration, and it's the summary of evidence and adjudicative actions taken in this matter. It goes on and further says it must be considered whether there may be a reasonable basis for holding that a service-connected condition was of such severity as to have had a material influence in accelerating death. You have set where you sit for many such hearings, all of you, and I am familiar with a number of people who have come before the board. This is a matter in which a lot of time and effort and energy has been devoted to by the family as well as a number of interested people. I have said, as have some others, that we find this to be one of the most interesting and unique cases I have seen in my 8 years working with this Agent Orange issue. In fact, I have not seen another case like it. I think that there are certainly some unique areas that I just believe should be given considerable weight. As Admiral Zumwalt mentioned, at the time of death, the post-mortem dioxin analysis done by Dr. Gross's laboratory at the University of Nebraska found 12 parts per trillion. We think that perhaps unlike other cases, Agent Orange-related cases that this board may hear, that whether it was an administrative error or oversight, notwithstanding the fact that a finding shows at time of death 12 parts per trillion, we think that's important. And we believe should weigh heavily in a decision to adjudicate favorably the service-connected death of Wayne Barton. And what I wanted to suggest and will submit for the record, we have had a number of conversations in New Jersey with Dr. Kahn and Dr. Mike Rochfeld, who are the co-investigators of our research project in New Jersey. And in an article that appeared in the lead article of the March 18, 1988 issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association, the results of our Point Man 1 study were published. I think that some of the findings relative to this finding of 12 parts per trillion are extremely important. And if I might, I brought a graph that I'd like to show to the board. To put in perspective this 12 parts per trillion, and to, if I might, take back what I believe that means. And I don't know how many of you have read the March 18th article in JAMA, but our finding, based on a number of controls, and I'm sure, Doctor, you're familiar with, I'm not a physician, I'm sure you're familiar with most of this, but let me just point out to you that using in our research a total of 17 pooled controls, and we did both dioxin analysis in adipose tissue and in blood plasma. Since Wayne Barton's analysis by Dr. Gross was on abdominal tissue, I will use the results in the adipose analysis that we had done at the University of Umeå in Sweden to show the pooled controls, the mean parts per trillion level for the 17 controls, 7 of which did not serve in Vietnam at all, 10 of whom we said were either not exposed or were minimally exposed, these 17 controls ended up with a mean level of 4.3 parts per trillion. For those that did not serve in Vietnam, they ended up with a mean level of 3.2 parts per trillion. And I think what's interesting to that is the Center for Disease Control, who had asked to publish, co-publish with us, also released results, and the correlation between their work and our work was quite close, and their findings were essentially the same as ours. So I think it's important to point out that the pooled controls, the mean level in these 17 people was 4.3 parts per trillion, or if for those that did not serve in Vietnam, was 3.2 parts per trillion. Consider that when we talk about Wayne Barton in April 1987 having in his body 12 parts per trillion. If we use the federal government's own recently released research, both from CDC and the Air Force, that was released at the OTA meeting on August 27, 1987, in which they found that the half-life, I believe in a total of 75 former ranch handers, the half-life was 7.1 years, the mean half-life in the body of those individuals. Using that same government figure, if we go back in terms of possibly forecasting the exposure level of Wayne Barton, what we find is this. In 1987, an analysis done for the Veterans Administration found 12 parts per trillion. 7 years prior to that, and I'll just assume you all understand the business of half-life, that figure would represent approximately 24 parts per trillion. Going back another increment of 7 years, in 1973, if analysis was done on Wayne Barton, one might expect to find approximately 48 parts per trillion of TCDD in his body. In 1968, when Wayne served, not quite another 7-year increment, And I think I've been very conservative in this estimate in suggesting that one might forecast that Wayne Barton had been exposed anywhere in a range of 48 parts per trillion to 96 parts per trillion of TCDD. We have presented evidence at the hearing in Des Moines and presented a witness that showed from the United States government considerable supporting documentation that indicated that Wayne Barton had served in an area that had been heavily sprayed almost on a daily basis. We will be happy to resubmit those tracking records provided to us by the United States Army, if you would so like. They include daily logs on the particular site location that Wayne Barton spent over a year. In fact, I believe he spent 13 months at a place I am familiar with called Fat City, right off Highway 1, an area with, as I said, heavy concentrations of spraying. So I think it's important to point out here that not only did Wayne Barton have opportunities to be exposed, more so than many Vietnam veterans, for that matter. Dr. Khan at 4:30 this morning described Wayne Barton as moderately exposed, certainly not heavily exposed to the extent that one might find in some ranch handlers or spray handlers. Wayne Wilson, nor Wayne Barton, neither of us were ranch handlers or spray handlers. We went to Vietnam as soldiers, and we did what so many did there. Nevertheless, Wayne Barton had opportunities to be exposed, and we believe that that exposure contributes and contributes to, if you understand, as Dr. Khan said to me this morning, in fact about 2 hours ago, that it is known in the medical literature that TCDD is a promoter of certain types of cancers. Specifically what types may not be fully clear at this point, but I think that if we're going to have any kind of presumption, or if in fact this board would want to weigh in the favor of Mary Barton, one might assume that that this moderate exposure, moderate to heavy exposure, contributed in some way to the lung cancer that Wayne Barton succumbed to 20 years or less than 20 years after his service in Vietnam. And I think that's what Mrs. Barton has said, and that's what I say, is that if in fact there is any way that the board could weigh in favor of the veteran or the widow in this case in the family, we believe there is more than sufficient evidence in this one case to warrant service connection. There has been some discussion, and I point out the mean body burden one finds in people who do not serve in Vietnam, and there's been the suggestion that somehow 12 parts per trillion is at the upper range, or it's not even close to an upper range of 20 parts per trillion. The research done by the Centers for Disease Control and by our commission, quite frankly, I think some of these numbers that are being bandied about the country, quite frankly, I think have come from someone associated with CDC who has more of a public relations role than a medical or scientific role. I think he did that inadvertently running around the country, and somehow there has been credence given to it. But clearly, research does not show that the great number of Americans are walking around with the levels at 20 parts per trillion. Perhaps in Newark, New Jersey, they are, but certainly not in Iowa. We would say for the record, and as I indicate to you, I had received a phone call at 4:30 this morning from Dr. Khan. We did analysis over the last several days in Sweden, looking at a number of different chemical compounds in Wayne Barton's abdominal tissue. I believe they tested for 14 compounds, dibenzofurans, a number of other dioxin isomers, and I'm sorry I just don't have that report this morning, but I am told by Dr. Khan that with one exception, those other compounds were flat across, which in his mind indicates that Wayne Barton had not been exposed to any other toxic compound, other than one exception, which I will not put on the record at this point, but it was not TCDD, it was another dioxin isomer. It is very unusual to be found in human beings, and it was found, I believe, at the 15.3 parts per trillion level in Wayne Barton, and we want to do some analysis on that before we present that as any kind of formal evidence or finding. So I would suggest to you that to consider this case and this case only, because I think it presents evidence that that other Vietnam veterans or other cases are not able to present. And so with that, I'd like to stop for a moment and either answer any questions you may have now or ask Mrs. Barton to comment. Or if you have questions of me, then I'll stop for a moment and ask Mary to speak.
Okay, you want to go off the record for a moment?
No, I'd like, okay. I think Mrs. Barton would like to go off the record.
I think pretty much everything that I had to say, I said in February regarding what happened. I cannot sit here and say that I'm an expert on dioxins, but I can tell you that I'm an expert on how this affects a family. I have two children, and it's affected our entire family very, very much. And I'm pursuing this issue merely because my husband wanted to do this. He wanted to help other veterans, and for no other reason, other than the fact that I love him very much, this is why I'm doing this. And I hope that it can prove something for, I hope in the end that all the other veterans do not have to go this route that I'm having to go to prove things, because it's very, very difficult. The burden of proof, I feel, does rest in your hands. His place of employment has set documentation stating that there was no way he could have obtained this in his 20 and a half years service at Churchill Truck Lines. The governor from the state of Iowa sent some documentation as far as a national dioxin study, which also showed that excluding Times Beach, Missouri, they found more dioxin in my husband's body than they found, like I said, except excluding Times Beach, Missouri, which we have that rule somewhere. Otherwise, I really have nothing further to say except to please weigh all this evidence and let your conscience be your guide, I guess. I'm sorry, that's about the only thing I have to say.
I might add, Mr. Chairman, that we will present a letter from an official of Churchill Truck Lines, and this report that was taken on a number of random soil samples, which, as Mrs. Barton has suggested, and the analytical evidence that was given to me over the telephone this morning suggests that Wayne Barton was not exposed to anything other than one particular chemical, and we're not even sure that was a domestic exposure. That, in fact, may be an exposure that occurred in Vietnam. But we'll have to have that analysis done by people who are qualified to do that, and we will present that. So I just the uniqueness of this, and I think that the Veterans Administration has suggested that some errors were made. That the analysis on Wayne Barton, it's a matter of verbatim transcript in which Dr. Hans Hobson says that that Wayne Barton, the analysis was done by mistake, that he should not have been had the tissue analyzed. Nevertheless, it was analyzed. Analysis has been completed this morning. At the University of Umeå by Dr. Christopher Rappi, who was probably, as you know, the most preeminent dioxin chemist in the world. In fact, we paid for that analysis. Such care was taken. Literally, it took twice as long to do the analysis on Wayne Barton as is done in many other samples that are done. So I think that this is a claim that bears service connection, and the record is full of letters. I think the regulations require that you show certain factors, and I believe physicians say for the record here in letters that the very aggressive nature of this cancer lends itself to certainly a cause other than just smoking. I looked at some of the figures from the VA's proportionate mortality study, and I believe, although I'm not a expert at some of this, that there was a slight increase in lung cancer among some of the Army veterans, certainly not to the degree that they found in lung cancer among Marines that served in the I Corps area. Our official response to that is that while dioxin or TCDD may not be a direct cause of cancer, the fact that it is such a strong promoter of cancer that that added to smoking, that those two factors may enhance to a great degree the probability, as Admiral Zumwalt pointed out, the probability of seeing the kinds of increased incidence, particularly lung cancers, that we see among Vietnam veterans that served in I Corps. And Wayne Barton served in I Corps. He was right up there with the Marine units. And I would just ask that the service connection be granted in this matter.
Before I forget it, you have submitted all the physicians' documents. Is that not a record of that?
I can't find any evidence that these two are.
We just got them. I just got them. So they're not in.
Yeah, we looked.
You know that you have the right to submit them to the police office first for additional consideration. You may waive that right to choose them as well.
We'll waive that right and submit them here for your consideration.
I might add that. I don't know if this is part of the record or not, but Wayne worked for Churchill Textiles both before he was drafted and after he returned from Vietnam. So it was a total of 20 and a half years' service.
And before I forget, too, you also mentioned additional evidence before.
Yes.
Wayne, consideration of that also.
Yes.
So we make it clear.
Yeah.
Do you understand the ramifications of that?
But they didn't make a decision the first time.
They just certified it,
yes.
I believe.
So that's.
Yeah. So I think we can save everyone a lot of time just by letting you all do it. Yes, sir.
Your figure to say that you did, as I understand it, you had 7 controls, is that correct?
We had 17 controls, 7 of whom did not serve in Southeast Asia, but were matched for, I believe, 5 different factors, and 10 controls also matched, very tightly matched, who we believed and were confirmed by the military to have not been exposed or minimally exposed at best.
So that would be, what, 27 then?
17 controls and 10 people who we felt were heavily exposed.
10 people heavily exposed?
Yes.
And what was the result of the statistical analysis of this?
The statistical analysis in both blood plasma analysis and in adipose tissue analysis indicated that those that we felt had been heavily exposed had in fact been exposed 10 times the level that those controls had been. I believe the, I didn't bring that, yeah, here it is, right here. Among the exposed, doctor, the mean for the exposed Vietnam veterans was 46.3 parts per trillion in blood and 41.7 in adipose, which you can see that correlation is pretty
close. This was analyzed by a statistician. He calls these things a significant statistical standpoint.
Yes, Dr. Michael Gottschfeld, who's a assistant professor in the department of at Robert Wood Johnson Medical School, and Dr. Ralph Fogelman, who is a industry toxicologist and a member of our commission, did the analysis and arrived at, I believe, a confidence rating that's quite high for this work. And as you know, we did work closely with CDC, and they reported findings very similar in the work that they had done. I think that work had mostly been on Times Beach residents. And as you know, certain other work's been reported with ranch handlers and others that pretty much were CDC and New Jersey Agent Orange Commission are the only people that are doing the blood plasma testing exclusively now. We're not doing any more of the adipose tissue. But we just recently sent, if I might add here, to Sweden, I believe a total of 11 samples and another 14 samples will be sent shortly for analysis. Most of these samples are from deceased Vietnam veterans. Most are, if not all, are tissue. Obviously, some tissue we're not going to be able to analyze. And I will be back here Monday in another matter. I'll have to see what the levels are in that case. But Wayne Barton's case is so unique. And sometimes, I'm not a physician doctor, but I think sometimes this business of Agent Orange just gets completely out of hand. And I want to talk about levels that science and people in your profession find, okay? These are the things that hold up. And I really don't care about what some PR guy at CDC runs around the country saying. I'm not going to say what he says, okay? I don't think we want any citizen of this country to be walking around with 20 parts per trillion of dioxin in their body. And to use those kinds of numbers is, I think, just irresponsible on the part of CDC to try to draw some conclusion that that's what we all have in our bodies. That's clearly not the case. And I think the research clearly shows that Wayne Barton was moderately exposed to Vietnam, and not driving a truck or in the cornfields of Iowa. The evidence does not support that kind of conclusion. It just doesn't. I hope I answered your question. And you know, this is a controversial and emotional issue, and I think any criticisms at me personally should not, or the way that this matter is dealt with, should not influence in any way what is first-class research. And the Journal of American Medical Association, peer review, and your colleagues recognize it as such, and I think that's the bottom line, and it applies to this matter. Well, thank goodness. That's great.
Yes, I've got a couple questions. First of all, I'm just curious, of the 10 individuals that you believe have been heavily exposed in the study, what was the basis for determining that they had been exposed?
We have a 5-member selection committee composed of three physicians, one scientist, and me. We go through a preliminary selection procedure based on some information that's provided to us by the veteran. We then require a very detailed, confidential 30-page questionnaire to be completed. On the basis of a number of factors, including military records, interviews, and so forth, we make a determination on exposure. we do some scoring in a model that we are developing called an environmental model. We score it out, then we ask the Department of Defense to either confirm or find a problem with our read. We said the 10 people were heavily exposed. DOD said they were also heavily exposed. We said 17 controls were not exposed, either by virtue of the fact they did not serve in Vietnam, or even if they did, we felt that they were minimally or not exposed, and the research indicates that that is the case. Out of a total of 27 people, I think we missed the boat on one individual.
Yeah, the captain was selected.
I believe several were ranch handers, and obviously you're familiar with the ranch hand unit. The others came from various geographical regions of Vietnam, everywhere from the Saigon, Tan Son area to up north. So the distribution was pretty general throughout Vietnam. Although on analysis, one of the lowest levels was among a ranch hand, which is interesting. Aircraft. You're tired? No, loadmaster in the back. And it just indicates to us the function of the body, and with additional resources, perhaps we could find out why this person is obviously able to excrete dioxin and other people appear not to be able to. In our research, the highest levels were not among ranch hands. They were found among two Army personnel. I believe one had 160 parts per trillion, 19 years after exposure, and I believe the other had 184 parts per trillion. One was a clerk who had been assigned to a chemical unit, and the other was a chemical person. And apparently both had been involved in backpack sprays. Yeah. And we ended up with a clerk. We think we know why. We ended up with a clerk, what we said was a non-exposed individual with 14.9 parts per trillion. However, we missed about a 7-week period in his military history, and we're in fact looking at that to see if that's where we missed something.
Once again, I didn't quite as far as the 10th division, he was on the wrong road.
Yes.
And likewise, the 7th.
Yes. When you say a country, you mean Vietnam or United States?
US.
Across the country, yeah.
And just for purposes of clarifying, according to the medical record, the male was
in the notation there at one point,
but the doctor
was
a 40 to 60 factor.
Well, I didn't quite understand what a 40 to 60 factor is.
Well, we sometimes have trouble understanding.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like
as
a lot.
As far as we can determine what they, that is calculated on the basis in effect, how many packs per day times how many years you smoke. So if it's one pack per day for 20 years, they typically call that up with a 20-year factor. If it's like two packs per day for 20 years, they call that a 40-year
factor. Well, I think, excuse me for interrupting, but I think you probably received that information from the autopsy report. This material, in fact, 2 years ago today, my husband went to Iowa City for the Agent Orange screening, of which he was interviewed for over two hours by Dr. Ewell, who is the Agent Orange screening physician. And I'm sure, as all of us, we tend to forget things at times. And Wayne made the excruciatingly painful trip to Iowa City that day, only to think that he was going to be tested for the blood analysis, for the CBC, that your analysis, the chest x-ray, and received nothing that day because we had taken all the literature with us from our findings at the local hospitals, clear back to from our family doctors. So we took all that information with us, and they chose not to do any testing. But what I'm saying is, he was asked very, very much about his smoking that day. And I'm sure they asked the age that he started smoking. I'm sure he probably tried it at age 13. But I, like you, read the same autopsy report, and it sounds like he smoked this this much back at age 13. And I still know his mother very, very well. And both his mother and his father are wonderful people, and they certainly would not have allowed a three-pack-a-day habit at age 13.
Yeah, so there's some...
I hope that explains a little bit.
There's some dispute about the level of smoking. We don't deny that he smoked.
No, no.
I understand what
okay.
is here, and I think you understand
I know
what
he
I'm
never
getting at, but I was just asking him, based on your recollection, possibly.
I would say around two-pack-a-day.
And we don't, you know, clearly, we're not going to suggest that smoking equates with being some kind of, clearly there's a factor here, okay? I think there's a correlation.
Right. I think we understand each other.
Yeah.
I was just, in terms of the record itself, I was just going to clarify my purpose.
But people misunderstand that TCDD does not cause cancer. I mean, we're talking about something that promotes and may promote certain types of cancers, given a potential for doing that, where there are other risk factors involved, such as smoking, okay, or stress, or what have you. So, and I think that's what we're saying here.
I understand that, for that line of argument.
Yeah. The only other thing I would ask is that perhaps the board might avail itself of any findings that might be available from the VA's proportionate mortality study that Dr. Chang is continuing. I don't know if that's, I think that's nearing completion, and I understand they're taking a closer look at Army personnel who served up in I Corps, and it may be useful to take a look at, see what they found since that study was first done.
I guess